Minneapolis braces for the storm that may come after the Chauvin verdict, while their city council votes unanimously to disarm traffic cops. A bipartisan group of senators is looking at breaking up the so-called infrastructure package, and a helicopter has been spotted flying on Mars. What's that all about?
It's all about Alabama, Hollywood, rock and roll, eating good, sports in the deep south,
news from the White House,
indiscretion,
big stupid questions,
and all things extracurricular,
AM, FM, and online,
all top 99.5, it's a show about every damn thing,
and nothing in particular. You're listening to Richard Dixon
on Birmingham's Real Talk. 99.5.
Portions of today's show brought to you by our friends at Mr. Bugs. That's Mr. Bugs to you. They'll be around my house in the next couple of weeks here, taking care of business, making sure that we get rid of all those nasty, assuming that there are any nasty insects on the inside. If there are, they'll check for signs that there's been rodent activity. They do that every time they come. If there is, they make sure that they take care of that for me as well. They will handle my termite bond coming up in a couple of months. And I'm excited about the mosquito reduction, because at this time of year, especially with some of the rain that we got last week, we can expect that we'll see and experience some mosquitoes in the not-too-distant future here, if you haven't had them already. So this is a great organization that can handle pretty much anything you throw at them, bug or critter-wise. And then, of course, the turf management program means they can make your lawn nice and green as well. Why would you turn to anybody else? Statewide, it's 844-MRBUGGS, 844-MR-BUGS with two Gs, MrBugsWithTwoGs.com on the World Wide Web, MrBugs.com, or locally 900-3433. Mr. Bugs, they know what bugs you. Had a great weekend, busy weekend, got a lot done, was very excited about it. You may have seen my video about the air frying of the steak, David,
that
air fried steak.
That was interesting, and it can be done. And it actually looked appetizing, which surprised me.
It was not terrible. As I said in the video, the number of people who don't know how to use social media is beginning to distress me, which is not to say that everybody should have a full working knowledge of every aspect of social media. I don't fully understand a lot of it. But, you know, I posted the video and I put a caption on it that said, air frying steak, it can be done, but should it, or something of that nature. And a number of people responded, well, what's the verdict? And I was like, well, watch the video. There's a video attached to this. Do you not see the little arrow in the middle? You click it, and then you see the video, and you can see it step by step there. A couple of things. I used a less expensive cut of meat. I imagine if I'd used a more expensive cut of meat, it would have turned out better, because, you know, it's hard to ruin a really good cut of meat. But also, the air fryer that I have, this was given to me back when there were, I think, two kinds of air fryers on the market. This one, the original Power Air Fryer, and then one other company had come up with one, and it was only starting when this one was given to me. And so it's a really old air fryer, 3 years at least. And you think, well, that's not that old. It is pretty old for a small appliance that gets used as much as this one gets used. So it only goes up to 400 degrees. You're not going to get like a really good char on the outside of the steak. I let the steak get to room temperature. I preheated the air fryer. I did everything I should have, but not going over 400 degrees, you're just never going to get the kind of, you know, charring on the outside that you want. So that's something to take into consideration. I got one that was fairly medium rare and one that was medium, and I was relatively happy with it, but I doubt that I'll do it again. I know how to cook steak in better ways. I have the accoutrement to cook steak in better ways. This was really just a question of curiosity. And, my curiosity has been subtle. The next night, last night, I cut up the steak, the leftover steak, into small strips, and I sautéed it in a saucepan with a small amount of butter and a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. And then I used it on nachos. I threw it over the top of some chips with a little bit of Mexican cheese and some salsa and some onions, and it was fantastic. So the leftover steak was not wasted. Some of it went to the dogs, the gristle and the fat, of which there was a lot because, as I said, not a Pillitteri steak. Anyway, I finished my smoker refurbishment, And I've got the video, but I'm not going to put it up immediately because I don't want you people watching this video. It's 18 minutes long. It's way too long. And yet I look at it and I'm like, I don't know what I would cut out. I'm terrible at editing. I think everything in it needs to stay. So if you got 18 minutes to kill, I'll put this video up on Facebook later and you can watch it and see this smoker come back to life. It's interesting because the last time I posted a video that was like over 12 or 13 minutes long was when I was using that bullet smoker, that big silver, what's it called? I haven't used it in so long. I haven't seen it. I can't remember. Oh, the Orion cooker. And I smoked a Boston butt in there. And that got more views than any video I put up before or since. People loved that video. They watched the hell out of that video. And it was like 15, 16 minutes long. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll watch this one. I don't know. You got to be pretty bored to watch a guy refurbish a smoker from start to finish. On the other hand, look at what people are watching on reality TV. What, two Indian dudes putting like pools in the middle of the forest? There are people building tree houses out of, you know, any number of bizarre things, and people sit and watch that. So maybe they'll watch this. I don't know.
I think it could be educational. You give great commentary during your videos.
I hope that it helps somebody. That's really what it's all about. Is I could have done this and not said a word about it, but if my doing this can show some people, oh yeah, okay, I have a smoker that has that problem. I can fix that. You know, let me put a little bit of my experience, of which I have far too much, to use for VU. That's what I say. I also ate my weight in food over the weekend, and boy, I gotta get back. I just realized it's in 6 weeks I'm going to the beach. 6 weeks. 6 weeks from last Friday, I think. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, yeah. Not that I have to have a beach body, but I have to be in a position where children are not trying to push me back in the water. Oh, no, he beached himself. You got to save him, put him back in. So, yeah, we'll get real hardcore on the way to wellness here. Not that I, you know, that I have a bunch of clothes that don't fit. I don't. But I just feel like I'm a little heavier than I need. Oh, and the other thing is every time I go to the beach, I always have to break out the alcohol. Alcohol and the beach just go together like hookers and cocaine, don't they? I mean, it's just, oh, it's difficult for me to go to the beach without having a beverage. And I normally I'm not drinking now. Haven't consumed alcohol in quite some time. I get to the beach, I guarantee you, there's going to be some alcohol consumed, which, of course, immediately puts weight on me. So we'll work on all of that and more. What's going on in the news today? The big story, of course, is the Derek Chauvin trial, the wrap-up that is taking place. You have got the closing arguments from the defense, closing arguments from the prosecution, obviously. And then the judge charges the jury, which is a fairly long process and is extremely boring. And all I can think of is if I'm in the jury, how close attention would I be paying to the judge when he tells me these things? Because there's a number of things that the jury has to have imparted to them, not the least of which is a full explanation of what they would have to find for each count. Now, he's been charged, Chauvin has. In the death of George Floyd, he's been charged with second-degree murder. He's been charged with third-degree manslaughter. He's been charged with a number of other things as well. There's at least five charges against the guy, okay? And in each case, the judge has to say, now, in order to find Mr. Chauvin guilty of, let's say, second-degree murder, you would have to find that he did da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Also, that he ba-ba-da-ba-ba, and furthermore, diggity-diggity-diggity-do. So there's like a long list of things, and then he has to, and then goes on to the next one. And you somehow either have to take notes or remember everything he said about the first one. And all it takes is one juror saying, I don't buy it. I don't think so. I'm not going down this road. Obviously, there's a lot of fear involved. I can't believe for a second, especially since they weren't sequestered, I can't believe for a second that the jury is not, to some degree, thinking about, well, what effect is this verdict going to have on my city? Because this is my city. And we could sacrifice one guy, even if we don't believe that he's guilty. And I don't know whether they believe he's guilty or not. I haven't watched the trial. I don't even have. I suppose I could go to Hulu and catch a little bit of it. But, you know, I understand the facts of the case as they are. I don't understand the facts of the case as they have been presented. I mean, we all we all knew that that chick in Central Florida was guilty of killing her 2-year-old child. We all knew it. Everybody knew it. There wasn't anybody who didn't believe it. Prosecution put on a terrible case. Defense punched a bunch of holes in it. It was O.J. Simpson all over again. So whether you believe that Derek Chauvin is guilty or not guilty, how the prosecution presented the case, how the defense presented their case may have more play in this. And then how the jury feels and their concern over what might be happening to their city. It is, to me, singularly unhelpful that the city reached a settlement with George Floyd's family for $27 million before the trial even started, and that that became big and very public knowledge. That, to my way of thinking, poisoned the jury pool to the point where it's almost impossible. It doesn't matter what they say during the striking of the jury. You know, every single one of them has got in the back of their minds, well, the city's already, you know, admitted that they screwed up. The city's already admitted that there was a problem. The city's already admitted that, yeah, that's just crazy. That's crazy. You shouldn't, they shouldn't have done that. They should have said, we're going to wait until the trial is done, and then we'll carry on this conversation. But now is not the time. You can sue us if you want to, but any judge worth his salt is going to say, no, we're going to put this on the back burner until after the Derek Chauvin trial is done. Then you can make a decision based upon that. I'm reminded of the time my ex was on a jury here in Birmingham, and it was about a woman who had purchased a bar and then a year into it started complaining that stuff was breaking and things weren't right, and then she'd been sold a bill of goods, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the ex, who had worked in the legal profession, wasn't at the time, but had worked in the legal profession, everyone knew it and they didn't kick her off the jury. She said, you know, the evidence was presented in great detail that this woman knew exactly what she was getting into. She had a history in this business. She had been in this business before in another state. She had been given all of the standard outs on a contract like this, including some of the money, the purchase price being set aside for repairs within the first 6 months if she, you know, decided or declared that there were instances where that money needed to be used. She didn't use it. The money then reverted to the seller, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she told me that the minute they got into the jury room, most of the jury fell along the lines of, all right, how much are we going to give her? And the ex was like, how about nothing? How about she knew what she was getting into? Now she's upset because she can't make this bar work, and she's trying to take it out on the previous owner. That doesn't seem like the way this should be working. By the end of it, they had four or five people that were voting with her, and it ended up being a hung jury, and et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, just the fact that so many people walked into the jury room going, okay, so what kind of number are we talking? What should we give her? They clearly hadn't paid attention. They clearly weren't watching or listening to some of the facts as they were imparted. And they let emotion get the better of them. They played the whole, oh, poor little me card. This poor woman who knew what she was doing ended up taking a bath on this situation. I worry about that in the Derek Chauvin trial. I worry about, the same people who are casting votes in Minnesota who voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and Joe Biden in 2020 are making decisions about Derek Chauvin and whether or not George Floyd might have died had he been there or not been there. Anyway, all of that is a cause for concern. We'll see what happens. I don't know that we get I don't know what the correct verdict is. I'm going to be honest. I don't have any idea. And I'll probably never know whether or not the jury made their decision based on fear or out of an abundance of caution or on anything other than the cases as they were presented. I do not know. We'll keep you apprised of the situation as we move ourselves along through the day. In the meantime, and in between time, big stupid question of the day coming up next. We'll get this show up and lumbering under its own weight momentarily. Stick around. Hard to believe it was 26 years ago today. Do I have that right? 26 years ago today that the Alfred P. Murrah Building in Oklahoma City was destroyed by a truck bomb. Timothy McVeigh, of course, put to death in 2001 for that. A very bizarre set of circumstances leading up to the death of a lot of people, including a lot of children. by a nut job, I think is the kind way to put it, quite frankly. The guy was clinically insane. That was 26 years ago. On some level, it feels like it was just like 2 years ago. And on another level, it feels like it was a million years ago. I don't know. Don't know what to make of it. And I seem to recall at the time people were, this is the new terrorism. It's all going to be right-wing terrorism. It's all these conservative, white, right-wing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, 6 years later, we had 9/11, and that whole issue flew out the window. Anyway, it's Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us at 592-3004, 906 North 40th Street. What a great place to go shoot, a great place to learn about shooting, a great place to pick up the accoutrement, the accessories for shooting. If you're interested in, you want some of the cool laser sights, you want some new grips for your pistol, you need a new holster, you want to try a different way to carry that thing, there's any number of ways that they can work for you. Plus, of course, gunsmithing, they're great shooting lanes, they're fabulous people, and ammo in stock, there's a plus. Sentinel Firearms, sentinelfirearms.us, 906 North 40th Street, 592-3004, proud sponsor of...
The Big Stupid Question of the Day.
If you found yourself on your deathbed tomorrow, what would you wish you had done? For some reason, you find yourself on your deathbed tomorrow. What's the thing you look at and go, I wish I had spent more time at work? You know, a lot of people feel that way when they, I kid. This is an interesting exercise that is brought about to try to help you think about what you should be doing because, you know, nobody's time is guaranteed. We'd like to believe we have lots of time. You know, you might be in your 30s and think, I got my whole life ahead of me. Or you might be in your, 60s and think, I don't have that much time left, but I have some. And there is no telling. There is absolutely no telling. So that's the question. If you found yourself on your deathbed tomorrow, what would you wish you had done? 545-9950, 844-455-9950, the Birmingham Broker phone line. Let's go to Greg, who is on Lay Lake and has the answer for us. Greg, you're on Talk 99.5. What you got, man?
Yeah, I wish I would have beaten the hell out of Drew.
And Drew?
The only reason I didn't is because I didn't want to serve time in jail.
Any Drew in particular, or just anybody named Drew? Is it just a...
Yeah, it's a Drew in particular.
Okay, yeah. Now you wish you had done that. Now looking back, you go, jail time would have been okay. I could have seen my way through that. I would have been fine.
And he knows what he did.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate the call. Sorry for you, Drew. There's still time. Greg may come get you. You never can tell. Yeah, I find that it's awfully threatening to tell people that you don't care about the consequences. It's amazing when people say, well, but, you know, I'll call the police and you'll go to jail. I can live with that. Here's the thing. All your teeth will be missing. That's how that's going to work. So I can be in jail. You can have no teeth. How do you see this playing out? How do you like this? You want to continue down this road? Because we'll go down this road if you want to. It's amazing. Once people realize you don't really care about the consequences, how much their attitude changes. So the Republicans and some Democrats in the Senate are trying to get together and come up with an infrastructure package that is actually bipartisan. See, here's what, and it's not surprising, I guess, here's what the people who are running puppet Biden did. They put together a wish list of everything they want, a bunch of green new energy stuff. They came up with a bunch of social programs, came up with a bunch of government subsidy programs, expansions of federal programs like child care and things of that nature. They came up with programs for race-based nature, and they threw it all under this infrastructure umbrella and sold it as this is an infrastructure plan, because who could possibly be against infrastructure? In the same way that, you know, when we had the COVID relief bill, they threw everything, including the kitchen sink, in there and tried to claim that that was also it was just COVID relief. That's all it was. How could you vote against COVID relief? Well, the reality is it was a lot of things other than COVID relief. And if you had just narrowed it down to a pure COVID relief bill, I could see that. I'd love to vote for that. But since you decided to bail out a bunch of blue cities that have been mismanaging themselves for years, I'm hard-pressed to vote for something just because you call it COVID relief. So they're doing that with infrastructure now. They're throwing out everything that they can possibly think of that they want in this $2.3 trillion bill, and they are calling it infrastructure. Even Politico, hardly a right-wing website, Politico says that only about a third of it is infrastructure. Two-thirds of it is something other than infrastructure, unless you are using some very, very loose definitions. We'll get into definitions and talk a little bit more about this when we return. Your calls, of course, always welcome at 545-9950, 844-455-9950. Happy Monday. First News Time, Talk 99.5, talk99.5.com. What a beautiful day we have. Spring has finally come. And we're actually getting to enjoy some spring-like weather here. We didn't go directly from, 60 degrees to 85 as we do some years. Yeah, well, this global climate change, it's the real killer, isn't it? That's another thing. They've got a lot of infrastructure stuff in. We'll get into that in just a moment. But first, I will remind you that Parrot Structural Services is the only structural company that I would consider using. Why? Because I have already used them twice, and I can tell you that they saved me a lot of money, a lot of bacon. Because, I had in both cases people telling either myself or a family member that something was horribly wrong with their home, and then I had Parrot Structural come out and give me the once-over and say, no, that what they told you was less than true. And they always said, look, if you think you need it, get a structural engineer. We'll certainly support that. Get a structural engineer to come in here, but we're convinced that, and then they explained the whole thing to me about why there wasn't a problem. And, some other people who wanted to take tens of thousands of dollars out of my pocket were really just trying to take tens of thousands of dollars out of my pocket. When you're dealing with your foundation, you're dealing with your home, you don't need to be taken for a ride. You don't want someone who's going to do that. Get someone who's licensed, bonded, insured, and E-Verify compliant. Somebody who has, of course, financing available. That would be Parrot Structural Services. The experience and the integrity you need. ParrotSS.com, ParrotSS.com on the World Wide Web. So we have this infrastructure bill that is finding its way eventually in front of the Senate. The House is, of course, gaga over it, and they've got the majority there. It's only two votes now, but it's still a majority. And they're going to vote for whatever Joe Biden says he wants. And I say Joe Biden as if Joe Biden is Joe Biden is shorthand for the people who are running Joe Biden. You have to understand, okay? He's not really the president. He wasn't really elected president, and we're going to see more about that as we go forward here. Arizona's about to embark on a fairly interesting little look, and we'll see what comes of that. But, there's a cabal of people that are running things. Valerie Jarrett, I think, is involved in it. I know Susan Rice is. I think the Obamas may have a hand in things here. They're kind of pushing agendas that are really, really far left. And it's the number one way to make sure that the GOP gets back into office, assuming, of course, we do away with all this ridiculous mail-in voting and the back doors into which you can slip a bunch of ballots and whatnot. Just trying to steer the entire country so far to the left. That's what happened with Jimmy Carter. I mean, this is history repeating itself. Jimmy Carter took a country that was fairly centrist. At the time, we were just out of Vietnam. We were just done with Watergate. We were involved in stagflation at the time. We weren't yet in an oil crisis, but Jimmy Carter took over, and he ran as far to the left as he possibly could. He believed that collectivism was the way to handle things, and he consequently ended up getting absolutely shellacked in his attempt to get reelected by a guy who went the other direction, which, of course, was Ronald Reagan. So we may see history repeat itself here because the left is trying so very hard to shove what they want on you without bothering to think. A lot of people who voted for Joe Biden, because he was the name that was on there, but they weren't really voting for Joe Biden, were voting against Donald Trump. They were voting against the riots, which haven't stopped. In fact, many of them have intensified. They were voting against the sort of racial disunity that we have had in this country, which has not slowed down at all. It seems to have been increasing, in fact. They were voting against the COVID-19 fear-mongering. And lo and behold, that hasn't gone away. You still have people out there saying, well, even if you get vaccinated, you should never touch anything or anybody ever again in the rest of your life and stay as far away from other human beings as possible forever and ever. Amen. So there's a lot of people who voted for the name Joe Biden or the Democrat party on the agenda, on the ballot this past election day, who are now experiencing a lot of buyer's remorse. You're not even seeing a whole lot of polls about whether or not people are experiencing buyer's remorse because, of course, the media is in on it. The media worked very hard to get Joe Biden elected, as Charlie Chester said very clearly in the latest Project Veritas videos that James O'Keefe has been releasing. By the way, did you see that he was thrown off of Twitter? It just doesn't get more obvious that they're all in it together than when a guy like James O'Keefe manages to expose CNN for the charlatans and the liars that they are. And Twitter says, well, we're certainly not going to let you publicize that on our platform. Right, right, because the last thing you want is to have that sort of thing publicized because, of course, that would mean you guys would look bad too because you're exactly the same. Speaking of which, I don't know why. This is a stream of consciousness on a Monday. We'll get back to infrastructure in a minute. Hunter Biden's book, which was touted by CNN and the left-stream media in a big way. You know how many copies it sold in its first week? How many copies it sold in its first week? 11,000. Now, you may think, well, that doesn't sound bad. 11,000. For a nonfiction book by a so-called political celebrity, 11,000 is a joke, especially with the kind of push that came behind it from people like CNN and MSNBC. The fact is, nobody really wants to hear what Hunter Biden has to say. In a country of 320 million people, he sold 11,000 books in the first week. Ouch. You know, this is the son of the guy who got the most votes of any president ever in the history of presidents. You know, by comparison, Don Jr., Donald Trump Jr.'s book, sold 10 times that many because people actually cared about what he had to say, as opposed to Hunter Biden, who nobody cares about. So back to infrastructure. Sorry about that. I digress. Back to infrastructure. The left has decided they're going to put together a big wish list of everything they want, including government-funded child care, including Green New Deal stuff, that is to say subsidies for purchasing electric cars and subsidies for creating and making electric cars and pushing electric cars on the public and subsidies for windmills and solar farms and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's for private businesses, too, by the way. We're not talking about government here. And they call it all infrastructure. They call child care infrastructure. They call increased welfare benefits infrastructure. Oh, immigration, by the way, is infrastructure. Okay? All of that falls under the heading of infrastructure. Now, here's infrastructure as Investopedia sees it. This is, of course, an investment-based open platform. And it's a fairly simple definition. Infrastructure is the general term for the basic physical systems of a business, region, or nation. Examples of infrastructure include transportation systems, communication networks, sewage, water, and electric systems. These systems tend to be capital-intensive and high-cost investments that are vital to a country's economic development and prosperity. Did you hear anything about green energy in there? Electric systems is in there. Yeah, okay. The system that is used to disseminate electricity, sure. But the U.S. government doesn't own the Southern Company, all right? They don't own Alabama Power. They don't own the Tennessee Valley Authority Power Project. Well, they do in terms of Tennessee Valley Authority, but they don't own the Southern Company's power companies within that realm, okay? They may regulate them. They don't own them. That's the difference between socialism and capitalism. Socialism is when the government owns the means of production. They don't own any of these companies. They don't own Con Edison. They don't own any of these things. Pacific Edison, they don't own any of those, okay? So if you want to upgrade the lines over which electricity travels, great. We should absolutely do that. When you start saying, yeah, but we're also going to subsidize people, we're going to use some of this money to subsidize people to engage in wind farms and engage in solar panels. We did this once. We did this once. It was under Barack Obama. It was between 2009 and 2016, and it was a complete bust. We watched one company after another, Solyndra, Alpine, you know, watch them fail miserably and take tax dollars, hundreds of millions of tax dollars with them when they went belly up. Because right now, it's not viable energy. Solar energy has not improved. Listen to me now. Solar energy has not improved in its collection abilities, its storage abilities, or its, for want of a better term, fungibility, that is to say, its ability to be used over a wide variety of platforms. It hasn't changed since I was in eighth grade. It hasn't. They have made no real new breakthroughs. Any new breakthroughs that have come in terms of solar energy have come entirely as a result of making the electrical things that solar energy might run more, more efficient. They're more efficient. You can get farther in a solar-powered car now, not because we've figured out a better way to get solar power into the car. We've just figured out a way to make the solar-powered car more efficient, so it'll go an extra few miles beyond what it would 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But the reality is we haven't really changed any of that technology, and we're about to start throwing good money after bad again, chasing down some technology that simply does not work for our purposes. We have multiple hundreds of years of fossil fuels at our current rate of consumption, which is actually pretty good, to be honest. We have hundreds of years of fossil fuel available to us and accessible to us, and we're going to continue to throw good money after bad, chasing after these projects that simply don't work. And by the way, the one that does work, the one that is efficient, the one that is energy saving, is the one that the left doesn't want to touch, and that's nuclear. Nobody wants to talk about a nuclear car, a nuclear bus, a nuclear train. Nobody wants to talk about any of those things. We have nuclear submarines in our Navy, but nobody wants to talk about building a new nuclear plant to power any portion of these United States. No good reason for it. Just nuclear's the boogeyman. End of story. It's a non-starter for them. They're not really interested in green energy. If they were, they'd be all over nuclear, like a pit bull on a toddler. But they're not, and they're not going to be, because they're really not that interested in green energy. Okay, all right. This ranting, it just continues. Somebody call and shut me up. 545-9950, 844-455-9950. They're calling anything and everything. Well, child care is infrastructure. Well, immigration is infrastructure. Well, no, it's not. No, it is not. Infrastructure is what you know it to be, what I know it to be, what we have always known it to be. The left will change the definition of whatever they have to in order to make it work for them today. Interestingly enough, if that ceases to work for them tomorrow, they'll change the definition back. They've done it before. Back in a moment. Sammy Johns. Oh, there was a time when people had vans, children. They had vans. Vans were the coolest. They were the ginchiest. They were the best. You'd have that shag carpeting, little window upper left-hand corner of the van that looked like a mushroom or something like that. Some sort of bizarre artwork on the side, a wizard riding a unicorn. I mean, I don't know what the hell we were thinking in the 70s. I don't know what the hell
Lots of shrooms and weed. Must have been.
Because the van looks good to me. It really does. It's
and Tolkien.
12:51. I'm in that unhappy situation where I love to get away. I haven't gotten away in quite a while, but I'd love to get away. I'm excited about getting away. I want to get away. But when I do, I'm there and I'm like, oh, I miss home. I'm in that situation not just because I love my house, and I do, and I love my job, and I do, but because my aqua system's water affects every portion of my life, showering, doing dishes, washing, laundry. I did all these things over the weekend, and it's amazing. Every single time you open the dishwasher and you almost get your eyes knocked out by the glistening gleam of all of your dishes because they're so clean, no water spots at all, no additives necessary. Every time you pull the laundry out and it's nice and soft and you didn't have to add any softener of any kind, it's so wonderful. And add to the fact that the Aqua System system pays for itself. It really does. In less detergent, less wear and tear on your clothing, less wear and tear on your machines, you know, dishwasher, washing machine. You're using less soap, less cleanser, everything, okay? Over time, going to pay for itself. It's just how it works. Aqua Systems, 383-3999. Get a free water test today. A no-commission salesperson will talk to you however you want. You can do it via, you know, Skype over the internet. You can do it in person if you want. You can drop it by their place, and you can do it right there at their office if that's what interests you. They're on Highway 31, just south of Valleydale Road. On the right side of the road, look for the Aqua Systems sign. Aqua Systems, 383-3999. IWantGreatWater.com. IWantGreatWater.com. Clay took me. Nope, never mind. He's gone. He was going to talk infrastructure. He changed his mind. Now he's not interested any longer. Fine, be that way. As I said, there's a bad habit on the left that they will change the definition for what they want when they want it. Well, you don't have to look any farther than the Supreme Court packing attempt. You know, they were insistent that we needed 9 justices when we were sitting at 8, and nobody was talking about adding more justices then. Nobody said anything about tacking on extra justices at the time. Interestingly, when Amy Coney Barrett was up for grabs and we were talking about a potential re-election of Donald Trump, and he put her name forward, oh my God, no, you're not supposed to be doing this because, you know, Mitch McConnell wouldn't take this back when it was time for, when it was put up by Obama. But it's like, yeah, that was in the last year of his last term, and the election was going to be about who was going to name the next Supreme Court justice. He wasn't running for re-election. In years where you don't have a president running for re-election, it's not uncommon to hold back on such things. In fact, it happens all the time. This one may have held off a little longer than most. But, you know, they will change whatever rules they have to for whatever game they have to. And trust me on this, they could be screaming and crying for an additional 4 justices today. But if in 2024, they haven't gotten what they want by then, and I don't think they will, if in 2024 then a Republican gets elected, a Mike Pence or you name it, anybody who's high on the roster and could feasibly become president, even Donald Trump, they'll shut up about adding, oh, we don't need to add 4 more. No, that's not what we meant. They'll say whatever is, I mean, there, it's like a sick, abusive relationship with the Democrats. They'll say whatever they need to get what they want at the moment, and tomorrow they'll change their minds on a dime, change the way they talk to you. It's First News time.